Laudato Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
Today, Saturday, July 24th, is the feast of St. Charbel Maclouf, priest, and of St. Christina, virgin and martyr. And these are today's headlines. The Vatican has published the Holy See's consolidated budget sheet for 2020. Gunshots were heard at the funeral of assassinated Haitian President Jovenel Moïse. And the Church celebrates the first World Day for grandparents and the elderly tomorrow on Sunday. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. Our top story today, the prefect of the Secretariat for the Economy has given an interview to Vatican News looking at the Holy See's consolidated balance sheet for 2020. The bottom line, the deficit topped 66.3 million euros, making it a difficult year, but better than had been expected. Meanwhile, the administration of the patrimony of the Apostolic See, known as APSA, also made its balance sheet public for the first time, also looking at last year's situation. Thaddeus Jones tells us more.
Last year marked a difficult year financially for the Holy See, affected by many of the same problems facing people and organizations around the globe, especially pandemic-related challenges. The Vatican's dicasteries, or offices, had to reduce significantly their spending, and compared to previous years, less funding from Peter's Pence went to subsidizing the dicasteries, which meant, as a result, more aid went to churches and countries affected by the pandemic. Peter's Pence is the fund that gathers proceeds from the annual collection when the faithful donate to assist the Pope in his pastoral ministry. The prefect of the Secretariat for the Economy, Father Juan Antonio Guerrero Alves, presented the details of the Holy See's consolidated balance sheet for 2020 in an interview by Vatican News published Saturday. In brief, he noted that the Holy See did better than what had been expected, but it was still not what you would call a good year. Before the pandemic hit, a projected budget deficit of 53 million euros was foreseen. When COVID hit, the revised projections for the deficit ran from 68 to 146 million euros in the red. In the end, the real deficit ended up being 66.3 million, much better than what had been forecast. The end result is relatively good news for the Holy See's finances, since these far more difficult outcomes were avoided, thanks to significant belt-tightening measures put in place to cushion the losses from income in all areas, whether from paid services offered or returns from investments. Here we're talking only about the Holy See's balance sheet. There are also those related to the government, or Vatican City-State, the Institute for the Works of Religion, or IOR, and many other entities of varying types and sizes associated with the Holy See. In related news, the Administration of the Patrimony of the Apostolic See, or APSA, as it's called, made public for the first time its balance sheet for 2020, revealing decreased contributions to the Roman Curia and lower profits from investments. APSA's president, Archbishop Nuncio Galantino, says APSA had been able to help those in financial difficulty. He also gave an interview here to Vatican News released on Saturday. He noted that although income went down during the pandemic, there's still been some positive outcomes as difficulties have moved everyone to act together as a church. For all the details and transcriptions of both interviews, translated, of course, into English, just go to vaticannews.va. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
In world news, gunfire punctuated the funeral of assassinated Haitian President Jovenel Moïse, which his widow and three children attended. James Blears reports some mourners accused attending officials of being complicit in his shooting death, which has torn apart a nation.
Haitian authorities accused two of the Colombian mercenaries of shooting dead President Jovenel Moïse in his Port-au-Prince home on July the 7th, but the investigation is still ongoing and is far from over. Soldiers in full ceremonial uniform carried the coffin. His widow Martine, still recovering from gunshot wounds, having barely escaped with her life, stood alongside their three children graveside. Dressed in black, wearing a black anti-COVID mask with her right arm heavily bandaged in a sling, she touched the casket with her left hand and then placed it on her heart, saying, "We don't want revenge, we want justice." After random shots were fired in the air, the U.S. delegation left early and its members are all accounted for. Nearby, rocks were thrown, huge tires were burned, with black, acrid smoke billowing skywards, and heavy concrete barriers were overturned. The possibility of more violence is simmering. The mass was conducted by priest Jean-Gilles Sem in the cathedral of northern city Cap Haitien, which is where Juvenal Moïse was originally from. Sem called for a cessation to violence which is wracking Haiti, saying, "It's mostly affecting the poor," wearily saying, "We're all tired." Ave Maria was then sung. Haiti's police chief, Leon Charles, says 26 men have been arrested, including 3 police officers. 18 of them are ex-Colombian military. It's hoped elections can finally be held in September in the Western Hemisphere's poorest nation, which in past years has suffered a devastating earthquake, hurricanes, and now this appalling man-made tragedy. For Vatican Radio, James Blair's reporting.
Elsewhere, China on Saturday claimed the first gold medal of the Olympic Games in Tokyo, Japan. The world's greatest sporting spectacle got off to a subdued start at the National Stadium Friday evening due to the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. Yang Qian won the gold medal for China, setting an Olympic record in women's 10-meter air rifle event. With more on the Olympics, here's Robin Gomes.
The opening ceremony of the Tokyo Olympic Games revealed an uneasy balance between the greatest show in sports and the threat of the COVID-19 pandemic that still continues to plague the world and toll lives after more than 16 months since its outbreak. Delayed by a year, the 32nd Olympic Games is the first time that the sporting event has been postponed in its 124-year history. The inauguration of the July 23rd to August 8th Games permitted fewer than 1,000 spectators in the stands. More than 11,000 athletes from 207 nations are competing in 339 events of 33 sporting disciplines, all looking to come home with a coveted Olympic medal. There is also a team of refugee athletes competing under the Olympic flag. Even before the opening ceremony, spirits were dampened with several infections among athletes and other people involved with the Tokyo Games. In a video message on the occasion of Friday's opening ceremony, United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres highlighted the Olympic spirit that brings out humanity's best, such as talent, teamwork, solidarity, unity, and peace.
Dear friends, I'm proud to salute the world's Olympic athletes, and I thank the people of Japan. The Olympic spirit brings out humanity's best, teamwork and solidarity, talent, tolerance. It inspires and unifies us in troubled times. We are all in mourning for those lost to the COVID-19 pandemic. Every athlete in Tokyo has overcome enormous obstacles and demonstrated great determination. If we bring that same energy to our global challenges, we can achieve anything. Peace, a clean, green, thriving planet, a better, more equal world, rooted in supporting the most vulnerable and leaving no one behind. So let us race together to that future. The United Nations is honored to be your teammate every step of the way.
Since the 1994 Olympic Games in Lillehammer, Norway, the modern Olympic Games have also been a time of Olympic truce, an initiative adopted by the United Nations General Assembly. I am Robin Gomes.
The so-called pre-summit of the United Nations Food Systems Summit is set to take place in Rome from Monday through Wednesday of next week. The meeting will set the stage for the global event scheduled in September, involving experts from around the world. One of the key challenges facing food security worldwide is the impact of global warming and resulting extreme weather phenomena. For this reason, the pre-summit will bring together ministers of the environment and specialists in atmospheric and climate sciences. One expert who feels strongly about this area is Professor Virabhadran Ramanathan, a renowned climate and atmospheric scientist at Scripps Institution of Oceanography at the University of California, San Diego. He's also a member of the Vatican's Pontifical Academy of Sciences. Professor Ramanathan spoke with Vatican News about how global warming has to be a key topic in discussions on how to protect food systems and production globally.
I think the time has come to rethink or go back to the drawing board of how we're going to feed everyone in the planet, given the fact that global warming, just in the last 10 to 15 years, has morphed into a global disruption of the world's weather systems. Okay, I mean, everywhere, people are experiencing bizarre weathers. What is supposed to be once every 1,000 years, once every 500 years, is happening twice in 10 years. I want to take first the example of California. As you know, we are one of the major producers of food in the U.S., right? We export things like almonds from California. Is the dominant source of almond worldwide. And if you just take the California example, during the last 40 years, we have slipped into what's called a mega drought. And it has been happening slowly every year. The perfect metaphor is the frogs in the well. Mm-hmm. And if you heat the well gradually, the frogs don't think of jumping out. They just, you know, perish. So fortunately, we are a lot smarter than that, and we could react.
Finally, tomorrow, Sunday, July 25th, the eve of the feast of Saints Joachim and Anne, the grandparents of Jesus, the Church will celebrate the inaugural World Day for Grandparents and the Elderly. Bishop Dennis Nolte is chair of the Irish Bishops' Council for Marriage and the Family. He spoke with Vatican Radio's Lydia O'Kane, saying that grandparents and the elderly have a lot to teach young people about the faith.
I think they can teach huge, huge amount. We learn our prayers sitting on the knees of our own mothers and grandmothers. We learn, my earliest memory is sitting at home with on my mother's lap learning the Hail Mary. I also recall at home praying the rosary in the kitchen and turning the chairs back to front. If you follow me, we always kneel down and praying our rosary together as a family. And maybe the younger we were, the more we tried to kick one another when others weren't looking and make each other laugh. All part of fun. Our Lord has a great sense of humor in this. Our grandparents, the older generation, have done a huge amount by teaching us our faith. I go back and I saw recently doing a bit of kind of, I suppose, deep cleaning during the pandemic days, coming across prayer cards given to me by my own grand-gran for different sacramental moments in my life. I've kept them all for First Communion, for Confirmation, for different moments when she was alive. She died in 1975, so I was then just 12, 13, so it was kind of, she was part of my life, for First Communion, First Penance, Confirmation. So I have those cards. She was always right behind these sacramental moments. They were the guests at all our sacramental moments. They were always the first ones you would be inviting beyond family, would be make sure grand-grand can come, make sure granddad can come.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, we can invite you to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va, where you can also follow the Mass for the first World Day of Grandparents and the Elderly, celebrated tomorrow beginning at 10 a.m. Rome time in St. Peter's Basilica. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells.